Morning. The lesson this morning comes for me as well from this last week. I find myself several nights up stewing about how I would do if something happened to Dad. And so this lesson kind of came to me, and I want to share it with you because those nights stopped after I got this point. So
that's a poor representation of God's hand, but bear with me.
You ever feel like that? Feel like you're hanging on to the very tip of God's finger by one hand. Like you're being dragged through life's bumps and briars, just barely able to hold on to God's hand to get you through. Are you afraid sometimes that you won't be able to hold on? That you won't be able to make it through whatever comes your way? You're holding on with all the strength you can muster, but you feel like you're getting weak. And you might not be able to hang on. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, we've heard this scripture referred to recently quite a bit. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I hear Paul saying we are given the spirit of power. But I feel like I can't hold on to the power. I feel like I'm just barely hanging on. What if I can't keep hold of the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and of a sound mind? I get tired. I get stressed out. Sometimes I feel like Paul says he felt in 2 Corinthians 1 and 8 when he says, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, sometimes to the point of despair. I'm not feeling very safe hanging on by one arm. Do you ever feel that way? Where is the secure? Where is the peace that passes all understanding? Where do we get it? Do we need to do some bodybuilding? You know, maybe I can add a little muscle to this. Maybe that would help. Well, David says in Psalms 33 and 16, a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Samson, that we were studying on Wednesday night with Matt, had never thought of it before, but Samson did not appear unusually strong. He didn't look like Hulk Hogan or Andre the Giant. Well, they wouldn't have asked him where his strength came from. It would have been obvious. There was nothing about his appearance that would give you the impression that he was capable of such great feats of strength like picking up the gates of the city and walking off with them. He didn't pump iron to do it. The scripture says, every time he did it, every time he had a great feat of strength, the scripture said, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And we know what happened when he tried to do it without God. He went out and shook himself and did not know that he had left God, and they bound him with fetters of brass. Do you suppose brass could have held him before? No. That time the Spirit of the Lord did not come mightily upon him because he had left God. So I'm pretty sure bodybuilding is not the answer. Do we need more people with us? You know, there's strength in numbers. We can help each other. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 4, starting verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. So maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need more people. Is that what the spirit of power is about? Is it about numbers? Well, again, David says, there is no king save by the multitude of an host, and vain is the help of man. Gideon showed us that it wasn't about numbers. Or God showed Gideon It wasn't about numbers. God tore Gideon's army down from 32,000 to 300. To a puny 300. So few that the Philistines were described as being like grasshoppers, so thick in the valley. You couldn't get 300 people hand-to-hand to surround that many people. These 300 probably didn't feel very tough, even though there was 300 of them. And just in case they might have, God gave them pitchers and trumpets for weapons. I don't know how tough you have to be for a pitcher and a trumpet to be an effective weapon. But it wasn't about the numbers. The scripture says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." Maybe I'll feel safer and more confident in being able to hold on to God if the right people are elected in November. Again, David says, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." The prophet Isaiah said to Israel, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help." Having confidence in government to help us feel powerful isn't going to work. I'm not feeling much safer. Maybe I would feel safer and more powerful if I had better weapons to fight against those who would try to threaten my ability to hold on to God. If I had some better weapons, maybe I would feel a little safer. Well, again, David tells us, "An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." In Psalms 44 and 6, he says, "For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me." In Psalms 20, he says that some trust in chariots, some in horses, but they are brought down and fall. When Peter tried his weapons to protect Jesus, then Jesus said to him, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Matthew 26:52. In John 18:36, Jesus answered Pilate by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." So having more powerful weapons doesn't seem to be the power we're referring to either. Maybe if I make myself wiser and smarter, then I'll be able to hold on. Make my head a little bigger. Maybe that'll help me hold on. But Paul tells the Corinthians, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." 1 Corinthians 1:19. The Apostle Paul, probably one of the most educated apostles of them all, tells us that being a great orator or being incredibly smart isn't really the answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." That I can identify with. "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul says, "I'm weak, I'm afraid, I trembled." He said that because it was important for them to understand that their faith need not be in him. They needed to know that it came from the power of God. When we feel the spirit of fear, is because we're looking at it from our own perspective. How am I going to hang on? But when we read about the spirit of power, we often define it from the same perspective. Okay, I know the power is there. How am I going to get the power? We tell ourselves that we are given the spirit of power, and so we try to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We try to flex our muscles. We try to collect an arsenal of weapons. We seek to gather more people around us so we can feel more powerful. All focused on my power, my ability to hang on. When I get done, I'm still barely hanging on to the power of God by my one puny arm. Surely that is not the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind that Paul is talking about. Because I'm not feeling very safe still. I'm not feeling very peaceful. So what's wrong with this picture? How do we make it through life with confidence and the spirit of power, love, and sound mind? You know, David wasn't afraid when he went out to meet Goliath. Was that because his muscles swelled up when he got to Goliath and he looked huge? No. Did his sling and stone turn into an AK-47? No. Goliath says, am I a dog that you come at with staves, with sticks? Did the whole army of Israel stand around him, support him? No, they were in their tents. They were too scared to come out. So how was he not afraid? Well, David responds to Goliath by saying, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Does that sound like David's hanging precariously by one arm to the power? Desperately trying to hold on? No. Doesn't sound like that at all. What about Stephen? In Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. We know that after that, the mob drug him before the council. If you were Stephen, and you had an angry mob dragging you before the council, would you have a spirit of fear, or would you have a spirit of power? Well, Stephen had the spirit of power. How? Let's read on. Acts 7, starting in verse 54. Stephen had given his defense, and it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Does that sound like Stephen was hanging by one little puny arm? Hanging on to the power of God by one little puny arm? No. No, God gave him the power. So what is the combination of our spirit and God's spirit that gives us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind? In Psalms 94 and 18, David says, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In Psalms 109, starting in verse 26, David says, help me, O Lord, my God, O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. That doesn't sound like hanging by one arm. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." In the power of His might. That's not barely hanging on. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not a battle that's going to be won by human spirit, human power, human weapons, human wisdom, or human numbers. It is a spiritual battle fought with a combination of our spirit and God's spirit. We are given, Paul says, we are given the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It's not our spirit of power. It's not our spirit of love. It's not our spirit of a sound mind. It's God's spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. It's a miraculous power, a miraculous love, a miraculous soundness of mind. This picture is all wrong. It's all wrong because I'm still depending on me. The correct picture is not us barely hanging on to God's hand. In Psalm 63, starting in verse 7, David says, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me." In Psalms 18, starting in verse 31, David says, "For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength, and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me up upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that the bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." Does that sound like somebody hanging by one arm? David says, "Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." God has us securely in His right hand, holding us up. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand, out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So if it's not in our power, then are we powerless? What part do we have? What part do we have in this? Well, if we look at David and Gideon and Samson and Paul and Stephen and a host of other examples, we see that our power is in our choice to submit. God gives us the free will spirit to choose for ourselves who we will serve, what we will trust in, where we will place our loyalty and confidence. Our part is choosing to submit. Choosing to submit to God, choosing to be in His hand. And He's got the rest of it. He's got the rest of it. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 12, says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. God gave you and me the power to choose who we would yield ourselves as servants to. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Not lift you up by a hanging arm. No. Lift you up in his hand. God's Spirit is the source of all the rest of the power, the love, and the soundness of mind. It is the source. I can't muster the kind of strength, the kind of love, the soundness of mind it takes to be able to survive this life, and neither can you. We have no hope of our own. I have been guilty of trying to hang on by one arm. Are you trying to hang on to God with one arm? Is your arm getting weak? Are you afraid you won't be able to hold on to the Spirit of power much longer? We must do as David said in Psalm 71:16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." God offers his hand, Christ's pierced hand. Pierced hand, so that you and I would have some place to stand. So that he can lift you up, hold you up, make you stand, make you safe. Don't try it alone. Don't try to make holding on about your strength. You can't do it. Just focus on submitting. Submitting to God, humble yourselves and let him lift you up. You want peace? You want safety? You want to be able to say, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Then submit to him. Repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, be buried in baptism to wash away those sins, and put on Christ. Then no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. Nobody. That's security. That's peace. And I'm glad I don't have to hang. Because God provides the power. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.